Ghosts Tormenting the Living. You know, it sounds like the headline for some sort of horror movie. But ghosts don't always torment the living. Just sometimes. I suppose sometimes it's more so about the outlook that we have on ghosts, really, or on the specific spirits that are haunting us. Just as in life with living people, you can have large groups of people, of like-minded people who are not being tormented by each other, while then just across the street, you can have an individual or a whole other group of people that goes, I can't stand what those other people are doing. They are tormenting me. A living can torment the living. I suppose a ghost, even if they think they're doing the right thing, could torment the undead as well. But what about when it's really just blatant? It's one thing if it's a disagreement when we're alive on something, but it's a whole other when you're having something that is actively out there trying to screw with you, trying to mess with you, trying to interrupt your sleep, trying to pull you down emotionally, trying to play on your emotions in a non-good way. That is torment. And when you can't get it to go away, you've tried everything. That is torment. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 315. We're going to hear about two very dark stories where dark forces torment a family after they move to a new house in a new state. A torment that runs so deep, they're forced to flee for their sanity and their lives. Also, can bottling up negative emotions and walling them off inside ourselves, walling them off not only from other people, but from ourselves, not dealing with them, not processing them, can that inadvertently create a playground for dark energy to fester and then use us, the vessel that's holding those feelings back for their own will? Two very scary stories for you this week on EPP bonus episode number 315 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Brewski. Stay with us. Can a ghost be removed from a haunted house? Kind of a generic question, I know. A ghost. A lot of times I think there's more than one thing involved. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes a little mix of everything. But I guess the operative question would be more so, can a haunting be eradicated? Haunting being more of a blanket term for anything and everything that's going on in a house of a paranormal nature. After all the years of doing this show, I would have to say no. I do not think in every case that it can be done. I think in some cases it can be held at bay. Maybe in some cases it can be ended if it's a earthbound spirit of a living person that's needing to move on and that's what they truly want to do. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with really two different things. Free will of a human being, if it's a human spirit, they may just say no. They may not want to go to the light. They may be cool. And then you also have the world of demonic angels, demons, things of that nature, non-human spirits, elemental type things that are in the area, that are on the ground, that are in the houses, that are doing really anything they want. And you're pleading with them, you're exercising them, you're this and that-ing them. Can it have effect? Sure. But I think ultimately, at the end of the day, it's human versus something much more powerful than what we personally can take on. In our next story, we hear about dark forces that torment a family after they move to a new home in a new state, supposed to be happy and good and great and all that. Well, the torment ends up running so deep, they are forced to flee for their sanity and quite possibly their lives. Take a listen. This story dates back some years ago when I had to move to a small town in Texas, and we had a house in Louisiana, as well as my dad getting a phone call that the house had been broken into. So they went up there, checked out what had been messed up in Louisiana, or stolen, or destroyed. So when they arrived, they started going through things and seeing what was all missing and cleaning things up. While cleaning things out of my sister's room, they found an old Ouija board that was given to her when she was a young girl. She was in her mid-20s when this happened, by a step-aunt that gave it to her 1 year for her birthday. So my family, being a deeply religious family, my dad decides he's going to get rid of it, and he had always heard that if you threw it away, they would always return back to the owner, so he decided that he would burn it. As he went up to my grandmother's, his mother's house, to find the stuff to burn it with, he commenced to lay it on the ground and tried to light it with a match. And the match went out. He went to the garage, found some charcoal lighter fluid, proceeded to pour it on the box, tried to light it, and it was still not lighting. He used almost a whole bottle and a box of matches, but it did not work. So my dad, being a believer in prayer, began to pray to God for help and guidance. He walked back to the garage and found some lawnmower gas, took the lid off the box and laid the board on top crossway and filled the bottom of the box with gas and a bit on the board as well, and then began to pray and struck a match and held it to the board. Gas usually ignites from the fumes, but he still had to hold it to the board as he prayed, and the board began to burn in the center, not on the edge where the match was. So he and my sister backed away as the board was burning. Without warning, the fire exploded straight up in the air, 15 to 20 feet, with a loud scream coming from inside the board, louder and louder screams. The fire goes into the ground with a rumble, and then smoke, as black as night, blacker than the outside space void, began to scream and moan and move towards my dad. Every direction he went, the smoke came at him. He even put the wind at his back. And the darkness followed him with one final scream. It was gone. The board and box were just gone as well. A few ashes and an indentation on the ground where the board was. Well, they came home to Orange, Texas, and we went to church the next day and everything was good. Or so we thought. We got home, got out, walked to the house. None of the keys would work on any of the four doors that we had. We couldn't enter the house. My dad thought of the one door that leads to the kitchen that was not in the best of shape. He could just bust it in and replace it later. So my dad proceeded to push on the door to gain access. And when you push on things, they tend to fall away from you. But as he pushed on the door, the window shattered out onto him like something was thrown out of it. We go inside. My dad feels like something is on his leg, like running down his leg. So he sits in the recliner, removes his slacks he wore to church, and blood was pouring out of a wound on his leg that he never felt any pain from. It had bled so much you could pour the blood from his shoe like you were pouring a drink. He had no snag in his slacks, no blood on any glass, no meat from the wound. By the way, it was 2 to 3 inches long and 1 inch wide and at least 1 inch deep. It wasn't just a normal cut. So we bandaged him up, tried to make the best of the rest of the day, and little did we know, it was the beginning of a lifetime of hell on earth. The demon house is what we called it. We had no way of moving because we had rented this space from my step-grandfather because my dad's job relocated him where they needed him, so we lived with it for best, I can remember, another 5 or so years till we were older and out of school. My dad would not talk about it to this day, and he is in his 80s. When I ask or even mention the incident, he begins to pray and walks away. My sister is the same way. I've learned to deal with a lot from spirits, shadows, dreams, and even demons. I'm 46, and as I write this to share with you, funny how I can see these events play in my mind over and over, but I can barely remember my own birthday sometimes. Well, after my father was attacked with the Ouija board and was burned, that's when strange things began to happen. Inside the duplex that my step-grandfather let us rent from him, there were old naval barrack houses that he purchased. We rented both sides and made it into one big home. Sometime after that, we noticed the weird things happening around the house. It was late one night. My dad and I were in the living room sitting on the couch watching TV, and we heard clicking coming from what we thought was the wall. The couch was located next to the front door on the main entrance to the home. It was wintertime, and all the houses were closed and sealed because of drafts. These are old houses. We covered the windows with plastic wrap, duct tape. Now, there was one radiator heater that we used because of natural gas prices. The clicking got louder and louder, and then the front door just opened. The main lock was still locked, sticking out. Not bent, not broken, just like it was locked, but not shut. The thing is, it's a barrel lock. You lift and slide to latch. My dad got up and washed, like this blast of cold air went through him. But the glass outer door was closed. He stumbled back and looked at me and was confused by what had happened. He closed the door again and locked it and sat back down. That's when he took a piece of paper and put it in the doorway of my sister's room to check for drafts. We sat down on the couch to watch TV. My dad says to me, "Watch the paper, it's moving." And when I turned my head to watch the paper, it was not moving. I thought my dad was messing with me and tried to spook me. So I said, "Sure," and turned back to watch TV. Again, my dad said the paper was moving. I turned to look at the paper and nothing. He said to watch it out. You know, the corner of your eye. Don't move your head. He was right. It moved. A lot. But when we moved our heads, it stopped. So my dad says, "Just stare at it and see what happens." The paper goes absolutely insane, swinging around violently. Then it stops and starts to spin like a top. My dad gets up to see if there was a draft, and it stopped, and no draft anywhere. Then the door flies open, the barrel latch still in the locked position. That night after my family gets home, we go to bed, and my brother comes to my room and says to leave him alone and to go to sleep. I'd already been sleeping and had no idea what he was talking about. He said, "How did you get from Tim's room so fast anyway?" I said, "What are you talking about? You were jumping on my bed. When I turned over, you ran into Tim's room." Tim's a cousin that lived with us. I told him to go back to sleep, and he had a bad dream, and he stated, "How could it be a dream when I'm awake?" I'll go back to bed when I hear him run into Tim's room and flick the lights on and start yelling at Tim and me. I walk down the hall and ask, "What now?" He says, "Someone is jumping on his bed." We look around and nothing. So I go and lock my door, go back to bed, and lay there trying to sleep with my music playing on my headboard. I notice that my door began to rattle. I yell at the door and tell them to leave. My door alone, it stops. I lay there some more trying to fall asleep, and it shakes violently this time. And I yell out for it to stop, and I hear glass shattering. I get up and turn my light on and see that my full-length mirror is shattered. Spiderweb, like something or someone had punched it. Although nothing else happened that night, I did not sleep either. I told my dad about it, but I never took it down. That is where we're going to pause the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 315 of Real Ghost Stories Online to hear the rest of this story and the other great story in our episode about bottling up negative emotions and walling them off not only from others but from ourselves. And just kind of walking around like a ticking time bomb, can that inadvertently create a playground for dark energy to fester and then use us as a vessel for their will? We're going to hear a story where that is what takes place. If you want it, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. That's a supporter of our program. You'll not only get access to this episode in its entirety, you'll get access to 315 bonus episodes in their entirety, as well as access to advanced episodes of our regular program, but with no commercials in. You get commercial-free ads or commercial-free episodes when you become a supporter of our program. You also get yourself our ebook and our audiobook. You get those absolutely free as well. Both are about $15 a pop if you buy it on Amazon or Audible, both bestsellers, and they're yours for free as a thank you for supporting our program. Check it out. Only $5. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Whatever platform you prefer will support our program and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.